Hi, I'm David Rossiter, and you're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. Thanks so much for tuning in to my noon report. Today, I talked to Sonia Patino from Bishop's University about their upcoming triple convocation and what that means for the classes of 2020, 2021, and 2022. Then, I talked to two founding members of Boutique Encore Thrift Shop. All that coming up. But first, here is the weekend update. On Friday night, the first ever professional Ultimate Frisbee game was played in Sherbrooke. The Montreal Royale took on, and ultimately fell to, the league reigning champs, the New York Empire. Despite pouring rain that lasted the entire match, well over 1,000 fans filled the bleachers, right to the end. There are three Sherbrooke players on the Montreal team who say Ultimate has always been popular in this area, but the size and the dedication of the crowd surprised even them. An old-fashioned diner celebrated their grand opening this weekend. Le Vintage 580 welcomed patrons to their King West location across the street from OMG Resto for the first time ever on Saturday. Closed today, their first ever weekday in business will be tomorrow. Also on Saturday, just north of Estrie, Premier Legault and his Coalition Avenir Québec began their annual convention in Drummondville. They were met with a protest with over 2,000 participants. The majority of protesters were there with the Syndication de la Fonction Publique et Parapublique de Québec. The SFPQ is a union that represents over 40,000 workers in the province, mostly civil servants. A leader in the union said that they had been negotiating with the CAQ for better salaries for over 2 years now, and it's past time for their voices to be heard. Other groups also traveled to Drummondville to demonstrate outside the convention. An urban planning group was there protesting what they say have been substandard tenants' rights during the CAQ's time. Also present was a much smaller and less organized group. A handful of people came to the protest to argue against various pandemic regulations still in place. Then, on Sunday, the Sherbrooke Phoenix hosted the Charlottetown Islanders for Game 3 of the Best of 5 series. The Phoenix are currently deeper in the playoffs than ever before in the team's 10-year history. So last night's game was the first ever QMJHL semifinal game at the Palais des Sports. Unfortunately, home ice advantage was not enough, and a last-minute goal sealed a 3-2 victory for Charlottetown. Now the Phoenix trail 2-1, but they have an opportunity to tie things up tonight. Still at the Palais des Sports, tonight's game starts at 7. Don't forget to wear white. This has been the CJMQ 88.9 FM Weekend Update. Next, I'm joined by Sonia from Bishop's. But first, here's the Killers.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Are we human, or are we dancer? My sign is vital, my hands are cold, and I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human, or are we dancer? Send my condolences to good.
gotta let me know. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer?
That was The Killers performing Human on CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube. Bishop's University is preparing for their first ever triple convocation later this week. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, members of the class of 2020, 2021, and 2022 are all invited to come back to Lenoxville to walk the stage and receive their diplomas. Sonia Patino, communications manager at the university, joined me on today's show to discuss the unique challenges that such an event presents. Sonia, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So, exciting times at Bishop's University. The first convocation in a couple years is back. What's the atmosphere like on campus?
Well, everybody in all departments are quite excited, busy, making sure they're not missing anything because we sort of got out of the habit of having this grandiose event, and this year it's going to be a grandioser, if that's a word, as we're going to be convocating for three classes, so the class of 2020, 2020-21, and 2022.
So I know convocation is a graduation celebration, but beyond that, I don't know much. How about you just tell me a little bit about what the weekend usually entails?
Yes, usually it starts with the Chancellor's dinner the night prior to convocation. So this year they've made it so that the graduates from 2020 and 2021 will have dinner with the Chancellor and also get a chance to meet the honorands. I'll get into that a little bit later, on Friday night. And typically this event is actually in Denver Gym, and usually there's a big turnover, and the next day we set up for the graduation ceremony. Since there's two dinners and four convocations, we've opted to bring the Chancellor's dinners off campus. So they will meet at Centre de Foire, where, and that's a beautiful setup. There's about 600 guests, students, their parents, and the honorands will be presented and be able to have a nice casual chat with the students of those classes. And the same thing is going to happen on Saturday. So Saturday evening, the class of 2022 will have dinner, and then they'll have their convocation on Sunday.
So these past 2 years then for the class of 2020 and 2021, they're all invited back this year. What did their ceremonies look like these last couple springs?
We had the virtual ceremonies, so we've tried to make them as warm as possible, looking at a flat screen, but there are nice touches that have been added. There's a prof at the university named Tim Doherty, who is an avid drone handler. And so what he did is he captured images of people waving with signs congratulating each class. And so the drone's been going around Lenoxville to, familiar places. So professors at Bishop's, but professors at their homes, because as you know, Bishop's is a very, very warm environment. So it's not rare that students and teachers would have a gathering or a meeting at a prof's house to have a coffee, to have a barbecue, to exchange. Also local businesses, you know, our local representatives at the borough's office, and also Clark's, among others, the pharmacy. So everybody's been solicited to come and say hello. So that was one test that we did online. Every graduate's photo and the mentions of their prizes was a part of a slideshow. Deans introduced the students, welcoming remarks by the chancellor, the principal. There's always a bit of a special thing at the end. If you go on the Bishop's website, if you look for on YouTube, you'll see the ceremonies from 2020 and 2021 with a bit of a cute touch at the end. I can't, I can't tell you the punchline, but it's kind of cool. So each class was really well taken care of. So now,
those students, so they did receive some, a bit of a ceremony, at least online. Anticipate a lot of them coming back then in person, even though they've, graduated, some of them a year ago, a couple years ago? Do you anticipate a lot of them wanting to come back to do it right?
So far so good. I mean, the numbers are pretty good. Obviously, it's quite challenging to have someone come back 2 years after they graduated. They've either moved overseas or they have, they're busy having different jobs, families. But we still were able to gather a lot of them. And so them and their families are invited to both the dinner and the convocation ceremony. So 2020 and 2021 will convocate during two ceremonies on Saturday the 4th, 10 a.m. for 2020. And 2:30 p.m. for the class of 2021.
So with them and their families all being invited, maybe there's going to be a lot more people on campus for that weekend than usual. Does that present any challenges for the administration? Anything different that you guys have had to do to prepare?
Well, a little bit. I mean, we can't, not mention the mask mandate by the government. Although it's been off since May 14th, the administration has decided to keep the mask mandate up until June 6th. A lot of people will be traveling, trying to make sure everybody's safe. So people in attendance at convocation ceremonies will need to wear their masks. The platform party will also wear their masks. Masks will be removed momentarily for the time that students are hooded and receive their diplomas from the hands of the chancellor.
Sonia, it sounds like a lot of fun coming up. This good luck with all the preparations and with the ceremony itself. And thanks so much for sharing a bit about it with me today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
That was Sonia Patna, Communications Manager at Bishop's University. Next up on CJMQ 88.9 FM, I visit Boutique Encore Thrift Shop to talk about their creation, their mission, and a fun event coming up this month. But first, here are Pop Punk Legends, Blink-182.
All the small things, true care, truth brings. I'll take one lift, you're right, best trip. We'll be right back.
was Blink-182 with one of their biggest hits, All the Small Things, right here on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Now, I visit Boutique Encore Thrift Shop, a charity slash nonprofit affiliated with Grace Village. I speak with Mary and Lissa, two founding members of the organization.
Mary and Lissa, hi. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming.
No problem. This looks really cool in here. Lots of fun stuff. How about you guys tell me about Boutique Encore Street?
Absolutely. So this is a charity shop. It is 100% volunteer run, and we accept donations from the general public and sort price and display things, and people come and purchase here, and all of the money goes to two local charities. And that's what we do.
And the two local charities?
We are actually under the auspices of Grace Village.
Yes.
So they are our overarching group, and 80% of the money goes to the Grace Village Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an a foundation that provides money for residents who are struggling to pay for their care if they run out of money or whatever financial situation changes.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation has always been there since the beginning of the Grace Village. It has always been an important aspect of the Grace Village's mandate and mission that that people should not struggle financially for their
mm-hmm.
care.
So has this like sort of wing of that foundation been open since the start, or?
We started May 15th last year. So
oh, okay,
year in
it's
May,
relatively new.
We had our anniversary, first year anniversary.
Nice.
Yes, so
have you
quite
two,
happy.
You two been here since the start?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
We started with four,
yeah.
four of us, and so we're still four people with lots of volunteers, up to 18 volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And it started during COVID, and in a funny way, that seems to have worked for us, because a lot of our volunteers were sort of kicking around the things that they normally volunteered in. And we're talking about a group of people who have volunteer in their souls,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. and they found themselves, a lot of the things they volunteered for were shut down in COVID, and we started up, and they came, and we have been so blessed. Just
and we're always looking for more volunteers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's always important to
yes.
note in these interviews whenever I'm talking with a nonprofit. They always yeah. make sure that
mm-hmm.
anybody's welcome to come help out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What's the motivation for you two for volunteering at a place like this?
Well, I'm a Christian, so
yeah.
The basis would be that you care for people who are in need. It's a core value, and we as a group of friends were sitting around, four of us, and saying, you know, how do we do this? It's hard to do. It's like because a lot of organizations who are charities find themselves just asking people for money, and
mm-hmm.
it's hard. This is a better way, because people come in here and they find cool stuff and they're thrilled,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
they give money.
And initially, the idea was to help people downsize, because we knew between the four of us, a lot of older people who were ready to get out of their big houses, sell their homes, go into smaller condos or apartments, or even ultimately Grace Village
yeah.
Wales Home.
Yeah.
So we knew that there was a big demand from these types of people to do something good with their furniture, with their jewelry, with all sorts of things. So we definitely have a good clientele who've been with us from the beginning in terms of people who are downsizing, older people who are downsizing.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, we call ourselves a friperie, I think in French, but everything, not just clothing. We have
yeah.
know, children's games and children's clothing. We have kitchen stuff. We have
puzzles and books.
The book selection, I'm very happy with. I was here last time. I remember I complimented on how well organized it was. It's not even just alphabetically, but by genre.
Yes.
The book rack at any thrift store for mm-hmm. sure.
And when we started with this small space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much square footage it is, but very, very soon we took over the entire auditorium.
So we were just in this.
Yes, to start with.
Yes.
It was insufficient for the incredible amount of stuff that's coming due to the generosity of the local population. It's been really gratifying the way people have just stepped up. And
I'm a little surprised. It's not far, Esprit Aide from Lennoxville. It's not far. And there's another little consignment store in Lennoxville. And for books, there's multiple used bookstores and the Saturday sales. But still, no shortage of donations?
Not at all.
That's good.
We do not desire to be in competition with those people, because they do wonderful stuff, and we are extremely supportive of those. We are trying not to be in competition with that. But I think even Esprit Aide, I've been to Esprit Aide on a Saturday, and the lineup of cars dropping off is nonstop.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, there's no shortage of demand now.
Exactly.
And the demand is there not just for people who are economically stressed, people who are being careful of what they buy. Even if they had the money to buy new, the resale market for clothing and this type of thing is really, really expanding quickly, growing quickly.
For some people, it's even like an environmental
thing. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we also have jewelry, furniture, you know, whatever comes in for furniture.
Linens, really good selling linens.
Some electronics. We have a really wonderful volunteer who checks over the electronics to make sure that they're working.
Lamps. Big market in lamps here, because we have somebody who does the same thing. He can rewire lamps and has certainly made lampshades. I can see one right behind you that are
the beautiful cut paper lampshades. So we've been really blessed in our volunteers. It's been great.
So just to remind our listeners, I'm speaking with Lissa and Mary from Boutique Encore at 3355 Rue College, and I hear you guys are having an exciting event later this month, perhaps?
Absolutely.
Can I hear about that?
June 17 and 18, so it's Friday and Saturday, we'll be having our huge yard sale under the tent, so rain or shine, and we set up on Thursday, and we will be having a lot of things for sale, in very good condition, good things, well-sorted, well-placed, and good prices.
It's different from a regular day inside here, yeah?
Yeah.
What, more stuff? More
massive more stuff. We have, our basement is full. Absolutely full.
That makes sense. So you can display more stuff at once.
Yeah, and it will be garage sale prices. It'll be yard sale prices, for sure, out there.
Oh, fun. Hopefully sunny too.
Yes, we request it.
Yeah. Well, good. I hope that goes off seamlessly. Thank you guys so much for sharing with me the work you get to do here. And
Thank you.
That was Mary and Lissa from Boutique Encore Thrift Shop. Make sure to check them out on Facebook or at 3355 Rue College. Thank you so much for joining me today on the CJMQ 88.9 FM Noon Report. I'm David Rossiter, and I'm back tomorrow and every weekday at noon with more news, music, and interviews. Let's close out today's show, one of my favorite bands, Jimmy Eat World, performing I Will Steal You Back. How slowly we built the walls.